No, I'm going to go.
I wanted her to be there, be here, because she said we should be beside somebody. She wouldn't stay. Hallelujah. It's a good day. This is ringing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Wow, there's a title back there. It says, the Word of God is our second weapon. We talked about the blood of Jesus. Remember that? We talked about the blood is powerful. It's mighty. And it's a weapon that we can use in our warfare against the enemy. And we have a second weapon, and it is the Word of God. Just let that sink in. A second weapon. Imagine, if you will, that you were taught all of your life that the earth was flat. It was just flat. It was the center of the universe. It was the sun revolved around the earth, and all of the universe revolved around the earth. It was just, we were the center of the universe. Imagine if you were taught that, and you believed that. And then one day someone came along with some extra data that showed you that it is not the center of the universe. It is not. That it's totally different than you thought. What would you do? I can imagine for some of you it would be a very, very violent reaction. You can't say that. You can't believe that. It's impossible. Right? Because they're challenging your core beliefs about what the earth is. But there's a hidden thing in this illustration, a spiritual principle. The truth is, what we hear shapes our expectations. And our expectations, in turn, shape our reality. I'm letting you read that again. Maybe you're facing a financial challenge. Maybe it's a health challenge. Maybe it's a relationship challenge. Any challenge you name, you could put in that category. Maybe you get discouraged. Maybe you want to give up. And when someone tells you, you can live in victory, you can be blessed, you can experience joy, it seems like we fight with them. We don't even really want to hear it coming out of their mouth. I don't know what you think. I don't really know what you listen to. I don't really know what you hear. But I do know this. What you hear shapes your expectations. And your expectations in turn shape your reality. Amen? Do you know that according to statistics, about 60% of all Christians don't believe in miracles? That's pretty sad. They simply do not believe in miracles. Why? Well, it's because that's what they were taught. I grew up in a church like that. I didn't go very much, but that's what they taught. They didn't believe in miracles. In fact, when I got saved, I went to the pastor and I told him what happened to me. And he said, well, I'm sorry, but that doesn't happen to us. You can go to the church over there across the street, it happens to them. Yeah. They didn't believe in miracles. Thankfully, I got involved with a church that did believe in miracles. I'm so thankful. It's so important, the ministry that you sit under, because that choice determines what you hear. And remember, what you hear shapes your expectations, and our expectations in turn shape our reality. Jesus said it this way in Mark 4:24. He said, then he said to them, take heed what you hear. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. That's an interesting thought. He said, take heed what you hear. Be careful. The Greek word, take heed, means to discern, to be careful, to take thought, to be discerning, to be wise with what you hear. You need to be discerning about what you hear, because Jesus said, with the same measure that you use, do we measure to you? Now, Jesus used an agricultural term, description, for what happens when we hear. Whatever measure that we take in will be the measure that will determine what we receive. When we, what we hear, we, maybe we could put it this way, what we hear gives us an exponential return on it. It's a spiritual law of sowing and reaping. Whatever you sow, you will reap, and you will reap abundantly. For instance, if you sow one kernel of corn, what do you get? A plant. And that plant produces more corn. Lots more than you sowed. Lots more than you sowed. In fact, an average kernel of an average ear of corn has about 800 kernels. But that can range from 400 to 1,200 kernels, depending on the pollination and depending on the stress of the corn. I thought that was interesting when I read that. The amount of corn produced just depends on how much stress the corn is under. Okay. I know stress is important, critical, but I didn't think it dealt with corn. Wow. So Jesus said in that parable some about seeds. Some seeds produce 30-fold, that's 400 years of kernels of corn, or 60-fold, that's maybe 800 kernels of corn, or 100-fold, maybe 1,200 kernels of corn. Wow. Did you know that most corn grows one ear, just one? Sometimes it grows two, but most of them it's just one per plant. And it takes 80,000 kernels to make a bushel. That's just crazy. That's 1,000 stalks of corn to make one bushel. Mm. And did you know that corn is the most grown plant in the world? I thought that was interesting. I didn't know that. And did you know that there's 3,500 uses for corn? Wow. God did such a wonderful job when he made corn. Whatever we hear, whatever we sow, whatever we hear determines what we will reap. The more you sow of a God with limits, the more limits you place on God. The more you sow about a God who can do the impossible, the more you will believe in a God who can do anything. Now, take stock for a second. Just think about yourself for a minute. What have you sown over the last week? Over the last month, into your heart? What have you sown into that? What have you read? What have you heard? What have you watched? What have you listened to? What have you talked about? It's all sowing into your heart. What have you sown into your heart? Because remember what we said. What you hear shapes your expectation. And your expectations shape your reality. So maybe we should stop for a minute and just refresh our hearts about what the Bible says about itself. Because if we don't really believe what the Bible is and does, then the rest of this message you can just check out if you want to believe that. But listen for a minute about what the Word says about itself. Understand the nature of Scripture. It strengthens our faith. It provides us with tools to navigate life's challenges. First scripture I want to look at for a second is in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. These are scriptures about the Word, that the Word says about itself. So this one says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture. Paul says all scripture. He uses the Greek word, and it means all, the totality of scripture. Everything in here is given by inspiration of God. Everything. All of it. In totality. Amen? Wow. And then Paul uses a word, and the word is, put that word up there. It's the next slide there. That word. Theopneustos. Anyway, that word means it's inspired by God. It means it's God-breathed. He wanted to assure Timothy that all of Scripture is God-breathed, is inspired by God. He is the source of it. He is the supply for everything in here. Peter, 2 Peter 1, verse 20 says, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God spoke his word through people, but he spoke it purely. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it is authoritative in every area of our life. I thought this was interesting. In the Scriptures, I got a whole list of verses. I'm not going to read those, but every word is described as flawless. It's described as eternal. It's unbreakable. It's boundless in perfection. It's completely reliable. Jesus affirmed it concisely when he said, your word is truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. In fact, the Scripture is so pure that entire arguments depend on sometimes just one word or just one letter of a word. Is that critical? This is his word, holy altogether. Every single dot, jot, and tittle is his word. It is the most valuable treasure in the universe. It's our food, our life, our strength, our guidance, our help, our desire, our hope, our love, our joy, and it's our treasure. Amen? And the second verse to talk about this is Hebrews 4:12. You know this verse. In fact, I got a plaque, it's a statue or something down there on the table. I got that on vacation because of the symbolism of it. It's a Bible and a sword, and the Scripture underneath is Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick or living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That's what that's for, to remind me that God's word is so powerful. It's not just historical text. It is living and active. It penetrates our souls. It offers clarity and conviction in our lives. So I want to encourage you, when you approach the word, you approach it not merely like words, but as an encounter with a living God and his living word, and it transforms us. And then the last verse to talk about his word is in Isaiah 55, verse 11. And this one, you quoted it this morning. So shall my words be that go forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I send it. Wow. It reassures us that God's word is reliable. It is trustworthy. He performs his word. It's powerful. It's purposeful. It is guaranteed to accomplish his will in the world and in you and in me. One person, quoting, this is a quote from one person. He said, the Bible is not written to simply satisfy your curiosity. It was written to transform your life. His word is written to transform your life. And so we need to understand that God's word is actively working in our lives. It brings about growth and change and spiritual fruit. It is sure, and it is unstoppable. It's living and powerful. I wrote down a bunch of verses that say what the word says about itself. Psalms 138:2, I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and truth. You have magnified your word above all your name. That one just rocks me. Then in Psalms 107:20, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. No, that's 107:105. 119:105. That one's good too. This one, the one that she had up before, is 107:20. And it says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fails, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. In Job 23:12, I have not departed from the commandments of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than necessary food. Matthew 4:4, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. His words are powerful. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wow. And then when I quoted a minute ago, John 17:17, sanctify them with truth, because your word is truth. And Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, everything you see, but my words will by no means pass away. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Luke 11:28, but he said, more than food, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. So I want to go back for a minute, back to Mark chapter 4, verse 24, and finish just talking about that a little bit. What's the context for the statement that he said, take heed what you hear? So I looked at the verses just before that, and to my, shock, he wasn't shocked, but it's the parable of the sower. Because I was just looking at verse 24, and then when I realized it was right after the parable of the sower, I kind of put it in context. Because he said there in verse 14, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes the word that was sown in their hearts. So the very first thing that happens when that word is, when you hear the word of God, is that you have a battle with the enemy. He wants to take the word away from you. So you don't remember it, you don't believe it, you don't understand it, whatever. He'll use any tactic he can. He wants to steal the word away from you. And then verse 16 says, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately they receive with gladness. Man, that makes me so happy. I'm so glad I heard that word. But I have no root in myself and endure for only a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arise, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. You know what that's like? That's like God speaks a word to you and it doesn't happen. And you think, well, okay, throw it away. Forget that one. It was a mistake. Whatever excuse you have that the enemy brings to you and you believe it, then you throw it away. The verse 18 says, now these are the ones, the third group, are sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. When all those things come into our lives, they block the power of the word. And then verse 20, the last one. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And then you skip down a couple verses and you come to our verse. Then verse 24, he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. To you who hear, more will be given. Think about that. Jesus is talking about sowing the word, receiving the word, and allowing the word to take root in our lives. So what percentage of the sowing in your life is the word of God? Think about that for a second. And second question is, what kind of soil do I have? Is it a hard ground? Is it rocky soil? Is there lots of weeds in it? Or is it good soil, ready to receive his word? If you want to walk in God's supernatural power, then you need to make some decisions about what's going into your heart. Sow the word. Prepare the soil. Ruth said this morning that on Saturday morning I woke up to a dream, and the dream was, it was kind of like a dream inside of a dream, if you could imagine that. It was like I was sleeping, having a dream, and then I woke up, but I was still dreaming. But I woke up. And when I woke up, I was healed. I was jumping up and down. I was dancing around. I was skipping and hopping in the kitchen, getting ready to go in to tell Ruth what happened. But I woke up, unfortunately. I had just stated the dream. But it was, to me, a prophetic word that God says, your healing is here. Amen? It's here. Your healing is here. And I'm showing you what it's going to look like. So get ready. Maybe today. It might be right now. It might be tomorrow. But it's here. And God says, hey, the exponential manifestation of his word comes when we believe him, when we take his word for what it says. If you want more of God's power in your life, change what you're hearing. When you did that evaluation that I asked you to do a minute ago about what you're hearing, what percentage did the word have? What percentage of what you're hearing was the word? I think if we really were honest, we would say it's not enough. I don't know, it doesn't really matter how much you say, you can always receive more. Holy Spirit speaks God's word inside of us. And it says in Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing. And that hearing comes by the word of God. Amen? Wow. So if you want more of God's power in your life, change what you're hearing. Take heed, Jesus said, what you hear. Take heed. Pay attention to what's going on. Pay attention to what's going into your heart. The moment that you start meditating on the word of God with the intention of doing what you're meditating on, you begin to see those things manifest in your life. So don't get frustrated if your life doesn't look like the Bible right at this moment. Just keep meditating. Keep receiving his word. Keep allowing God to minister to you. And watch the power of God turn things around. Just right now, in the name of Jesus, I declare I have great faith. Amen? In accordance with Mark 11, I have the God kind of faith. And every mountain in my life, and in the lives of those around me, must obey my voice. I open my mouth right now, and I say, doubt and unbelief must go from me. I am a believer in the word of God. Every word in the Bible is truth, and I believe it. Amen? The word of God is the final authority in my life. I am not moved by what I see. I am only moved by what the Bible says. I walk by faith in the word of God and not by sight. I'm not controlled by my emotions, the emotions of others, or my environment. I am completely controlled by the word. Amen. I'm a hearer of your word and a doer of your word. And I have great faith. And faith is the revelation of God's word in action. Therefore, I am a doer of your word. Nothing is impossible to me because I am a believer in your word. Amen? Remember, what you hear shapes your expectations. And your expectations, in turn, shape your reality. Expectation really is the magnet of the spiritual realm. Through expectations, we attract the manifestation of God's power and his promise into our lives. When you set your mind on the things of God, and like Colossians 2 says, set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. That's pretty clear, right? Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. When you do that, then we can expect his word to be demonstrated in our lives. And if we don't do that, well, we won't receive the miraculous power of God in our lives. So, Heavenly Father, we declare and we thank you for your power and your authority. Your word declares, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And so we stand on an unshakable foundation of your promises, and knowing that you carry the ultimate authority over every situation in our lives. You declare your word governs my thoughts, my actions, my words, and I reject the lies of the enemy. I choose to speak and to believe only what you said. Your word is alive, Father, and sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting through every obstacle and releasing breakthrough. I like what Revelation 1:16 says, too. It says, Jesus, this is John's vision of Jesus, and he said, he had stars in his right hand, seven, and out of his mouth went a sharp, sharp, two-edged sword. There's Jesus with the word of God in his mouth. Romans 6 says that the word of God is a sharp, two-edged sword. And Jesus is speaking his word for us. So today I declare that every situation in my life must align with the word. Every situation in your life must align with the word. I declare healing and deliverance and freedom and provision and peace, for your word has the final say. And I walk in victory because your word cannot fail. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I declare your word is absolutely true. Your word is settled forever in heaven, Lord. And it's pregnant with the miracle-working power of God. So if you want to gain access to his miracle-working power, you first have to gain access to his word. It has to become part of your heart. Has to be what you hear, what you believe, if you want to receive from him. Every miracle begins with the word. If you want to experience miracles in your life, it has to begin with the word, because his word is the foundation of the kingdom. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Holy Spirit, speak to me. Speak your words to me. Speak your rhema to me. Thank you, Lord, for giving a conviction in my heart of your words, of the power of your words. I never want to doubt your word, Lord. Never. I never want to allow myself to be manipulated by circumstances. My circumstances will never change your word, Lord. Your word always changes my circumstances for your glory. So I'm not just a hearer, but I'm a doer of your word. Therefore, I receive the promises of God for my life. Remember, what you hear shapes your expectations. And your expectations, in turn, shape your reality. The last verse, Psalm 62:5, we opened the service with it. It said, my soul waits silently for God, for my expectation is from him. Let's stand. Truly, Lord, our hope is in you. Thank you for the power of your word, Lord, that is living and active, that it is a weapon, a two-edged sword in our hand. We thank you, Lord, for giving us your word, We thank you, Lord, that we can depend on it. Lord, your word is totally and completely faithful. Because if it wasn't, if some was true and some wasn't, then I wouldn't be able to believe any of it. But I believe it all. Because it's your word. It's your word. It's your word, Lord. So thankful. So thankful, Lord, that you gave us your word. And so today we commit our hearts to believe your word, to stand in your word, to study your word, to learn your word. You said, study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Lord, we want to be those students of your word. Let your word be the first thing, the main thing that we feed our hearts. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord. Put your hand in your heart this morning. From his very word it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you grace and peace in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Go in his grace.